Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Oh, yeah, it is the Carmen and Yurko show here in the great city of Chicago, where we've got some Christmas ornaments being fixed on top of the old subway elevator here, guys. Mm. Looks like we're having a ground issue right now. We've got some engineers and we got some members of the Chicago, you know, task force that are out here making sure good things are happening. I noticed that light bulb was off for a while, and it looks like we're going and checking the ground right now.
You can't have it.
Yeah, without the ground, you can't have your power. You know, that's the way this thing works. Electricity. Right. Thomas Edison knew something.
He
did. You know what I'm saying? Nikola Tesla? Yeah. These guys are like brainiacs figuring out exactly what the hell current is and all that kind of stuff. Benjamin Franklin. Dare I not say Benjamin Franklin?
Yes.
Who flew the kite in the sky.
He flew the kite.
With a key on there, and it struck lightning. He says, I'm going to harness this stuff. It's called electricity, man, and we're going to make it happen. But I digress. Do you know why I digress?
But he was more of a statesman. He wasn't a scientist.
Right. He wasn't a scientist, but he just
needed
it anyway.
You needed the Edisons, the Teslas.
Right. For blinks and giggles, he flew the kite that day.
Well, that's just because he was smart, and he was a Renaissance man.
Smart guy, smart guy. And speaking of Renaissance men.
Oh, we've got one on the line now.
And a Renaissance man.
Yes.
For the Chicago Tribune and ESPN Radio 1000, he is our football guy, Dan Wiederer. Danny, welcome aboard.
Boys, are you ready for some football tomorrow morning?
We're ready for some football, but I'm exhausted by a week of just craziness up there. And it started when you simply asked him the question on Sunday, why'd you run the extra point unit out there?
Yeah, well, it started with all of the breakdowns in the second half of a game that they absolutely should have won and calmed all of this down, right? And they didn't. They fell apart. They lost the game, and it's been a mess ever since. I was just telling Randy before I came on that this game is almost like an afterthought. Everybody's just kind of waiting to get to Friday morning to see what the next part of the show is, right? And with this team, it's always part of a show, right? There's something that we're not expecting done unorthodoxly to get to the next step in a process that is headed nowhere. And so this is like, you know, the latest chapter in this book.
Do you believe, Dan, that come Friday, you know, Yurko and I are working, you will be up at Halas. Do you believe that the announcement is coming that Matt Nagy's been fired?
This organization, Carm, I have no idea. What I do know is this, right? Like, the writing's on the wall, and if we sort through all of this chaos, the conclusion is pretty easy to draw. Matt Nagy is not going to be your coach for much longer. And so then from there, the question is, when does he get launched and what are the other ripple effects with it? What is Ryan Pace's future like? What is Ted Phillips' future like? There's a lot for this organization to sort through, and they're obviously not sorting through it in a very graceful manner. Yesterday was bizarre on a lot of fronts, and they kind of have this one-size-fits-all policy at Halas Hall that they're not going to address every little rumor and story that's out there, because they feel like if they address one, then they've got to address them all. Well, my counter argument to that is, look, you don't have to call the fire department if you, you know, accidentally set a paper towel on fire when you're at the stove. But if the grease fire gets the kitchen, you know, ablaze and the curtains are on fire, and then you get on the phone and you call 911, you say, can you help us put this fire out? They didn't put any fire out yesterday. And so now they go on a national stage tomorrow, only game being played in the early slot on Thanksgiving Day, and that's all anyone's going to be talking about. It's going to be, you know, an absolutely, it's going to be an exposure of where they are as a team, where they are as a franchise. It's where they've been for a long time, and now the whole rest of the country is going to share in Chicago's pain, and the Detroit Lions are going to share in it, because I mentioned to the guys yesterday, they went through this a year ago. They launched Matt Patricia 2 days after Thanksgiving Day when they lost to the Texans at home, launched their general manager, Bob Quinn, and so, hey, there's a blueprint if the Bears are looking for answers.
Yeah, my guess is they're doing it because they have said nothing. And like, what they're just, their feeling is, okay, somehow it leaked. Now we got to wear it and look foolish for a couple days, but we can't release a statement saying it's not true because we're doing it on Friday. I mean, I don't know why else you wouldn't try to put the fire out. And I also wouldn't allow all this to deter my course of action. If they believe that this is the best thing, if they made the determination Sunday after the game and they only didn't do it because of a short week, then do it on Friday. They've got to be irate that this leaked. I mean, how many people could possibly know about this for it to leak? That's what's surprising to me, Dan.
100%, right? And so it gets out, and now you've put, you know, say what you want about Matt Nagy as a football coach, and we've all said a lot about that over the last few years, right? But to put him in a situation yesterday where he was basically hung out to dry, and not only publicly, but internally, they didn't come and see him in the morning and say, hey, Matt, you're probably going to hear about this at some point, and just so you know,
it's 100% true.
Either that, or we haven't made a decision yet. We're still evaluating things. You know, we'd like to see what happens Thursday. We're doing an ongoing assessment of the direction of this football team. But they left him out there, and as a human being, no matter what you think of him as a football coach, it was a little bit awkward and painful to have him and Chris Tabor and then the rest of the assistants have to come up there and answer for the chaos that's happening two levels above them. And so this is where we're always at with this team, right? I mean, I talk a lot about January 13th, right? You guys remember that infamous Zoom conference that they had last winter, and the rest of the world said, boy, this is a risky dice roll of you know, putting your chips all in on a you know, brain trust that hasn't shown that they're going to lead this franchise back to prominence. And yet here we are, 10 games and 10 months later, they are making the decision that everyone was trying to tell them last January that they should have made then, so they could have restarted and then got this thing on a full reboot. And now you're just kind of directionless and wasting some of Justin Fields' this time, to be honest with you.
With all the dysfunction, with everything that's happening, right, you ask yourself, how does it affect the players as they enter the game? What type of effort do you think you get out of the Bears against Detroit?
Well, and it's not just this, it's the short week, too, which makes it difficult in any week to sort of get up and give you your best energy and your best effort and your best, you know, physical output. You've got this now paired together with this mental drain of what's going on inside the building. And so, yeah, I think there's an absolute drain for this football team to get on a plane this afternoon and go to Detroit at 3-7 with no playoff hopes, with an understanding that your coach is likely to get bounced here very soon. And it's really hard to manufacture that inspiration and that energy and that ability. It comes down to pride, and we'll see which guys have it and which guys don't. And, you know, look, like I said yesterday, they could get beat by 15 points tomorrow by a winless Lions team, and I don't think anyone in this city would be shocked by that.
Yeah, I might be a little. I mean, geez. The Lions are so bad. Like, I mean, they've got one win in their last 20 games, for crying out loud. I'm sorry, two wins. One of them's against the Bears.
Yeah, there you go.
Two wins in their last 20 games. I mean, come on.
I mean, think about it. You know, I told you about Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn getting launched. Well, guess what? They come right back after that, and they come to Soldier Field, and they steal a game late because Mitch Trubisky fumbles, and the whole thing, you know, that was the sixth loss in a row for the Bears in that version of the lengthy losing streak. We're in a new version of the lengthy losing streak this year, and so you can't put anything past this team. Now, look, the Lions are terrible, and I have discussions annually, twice annually, with the writers that cover them and say, boy, as painful as it is to cover this team here in Chicago, your existence has to be twice as painful. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game in, you know, since we were like 4 years old or whatever it was. And so that organization is constantly a mess. They deal with the stuff also. But, man, this is going to be an ugly football game tomorrow between two bad teams on a stage. I think this will be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, right, on the call, and that'll be their first look at these teams this year. And
I mean, this is what they're calling. They got to look at – Aikman's got to be thinking, these two teams have three wins. It's Thanksgiving. They've got three wins. I mean, like, this is the game we're doing? Oh, my God.
And what's the appeal of this game in normal circumstances? It's, let's go get a look at Justin Fields.
Justin Fields.
If he can be the long-term answer at quarterback for this franchise. Well, guess what? He's got bruised ribs. He's not going to play. And so now it's like, no matter what, I mean, whatever Andy Dalton does in this, you know, relief stint here, it means nothing to anything. And so you're just kind of going through the motions. And like I say, this game tomorrow is an afterthought to whatever is happening with all the commotion elsewhere.
How does all this affect Justin Fields, if at all?
Yeah, I don't think much. I think that, listen, you've got a good group of players in that locker room. You've got a good group of coaches that he works directly with, specifically Bill Lazor and John DeFilippo, who have a knack for keeping a kid like that focused. And Justin is born with natural focus and a drive to get better and a want to use every opportunity he can to improve. And so he's just going to have to buckle in, realizing that, you know, his future is tied to a coach that we don't know who it is yet, right? Like, we'll learn that in January at some point, and that'll be Justin's future. So he has to make sure that when he gets healthy enough to play again, that he uses every opportunity he's on the field to make progress, to gain experience reading defenses, to make sure he stays immersed in this grind, because it's important to setting them up for 2022 and beyond. So I think he'll be fine overall. The kid is wired exactly how you want him to be wired, and now he's just got to get those ribs healthy.
You're going to Detroit, right? You're going to be at the game?
Oh yeah, yeah. Just giving up another holiday just to go. You know, watch this spectacle.
Don't worry, the family. They know you'll be there in spirit. They know that.
Yeah, they always know I'll be there in spirit. And then I come home and I drink extra hard on Friday night just to wash away my misery.
You know? I don't blame you.
This news just came down the pipeline. The NFL in St. Louis settled for $790 million.
Wow. Whew.
That's good. They went into mediation talks. They wanted to avoid a trial. The trial may have been embarrassing for the NFL and for Stan Kroenke, and it would have been more expensive. So they found common ground. $790 million awarded.
More expensive than $790 million.
Would have
wow.
been more expensive than $790 million. Carmen,
that's a drop in the bucket for the NFL, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd like some of that.
Well, it's a drop in the bucket for Stan Kroenke, I believe, too. Because remember, Kroenke was the one that said, well, I'm not worrying about it. I'll handle all legal costs, and I'll handle whatever it takes, you know, comes down the pipeline.
So he pays that, Yerk?
Stan Kroenke is supposed to pay that. Now, he went to the NFL, to the committee, and said, hey, I'd like help in paying all this. And like Jerry Jones and the other owners, Robert Kraft said, no.
Like, what do you mean?
No, we approved it when you said you were going to... You're going to take the brunt of the cost. That's
doesn't work
it.
That way. Yeah.
That's what you did, champ.
Like, no, you're paying for
so
it.
So sorry. So a little piece of NFL news out there. So that's interesting also.
I did. And do A-Rob get a player? I mean, are the guys on the short week not going to go this week? Like A-Rob, Eddie Jackson, what do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it in crosstalk a little bit. If you're Allen Robinson and you're in a contract year again, right, and on this franchise tag and your hamstring is still bothering you a little bit, why on earth would you put yourself in jeopardy of missing extended time to come back for this 3-7 versus 0-8-1 game on Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, probably
right?
Not.
Like you take your time and you get yourself right and you make sure that toward the end of the year you can put together some film that allows people on the outside to believe that you're worthy of paying big bucks and you get, you know, I mean, this is what happens, right? This is not just all, it's not always just this dramatic dysfunction inside a building. Sometimes it's just self-interest that takes over, and rightfully so for guys like that, right? Like you have to take care of yourself, particularly after the organization is not taking care of you, right? And not showing you the love that you thought you deserved financially. And so, yeah, that's an interesting one. I was surprised Eddie Jackson didn't play last week. We'll see if he can get back on the field. This is the saddest part of this week. Well, maybe not the saddest part of this week, but one of the sad parts of this week is the Bears are no longer in the hunt graphics, right?
Nope.
We've got seven football games left. It's really hard in 2021 to fall out of the in-the-hunt graphics with that seventh seed still available. The Bears are one of three teams in the NFC that are no longer in the hunt, and that's where we are. We've got a long way to go to get to January 9th, guys. Mark it on your calendar. That's
mark
the day the season ends.
They still had seven games. Like, it's Thanksgiving, and there's seven games left. Like, what?
January 9th, man. Trust me, I'm like the guy in this prison cell marking off the days until we get to January 9th.
Have a good Thanksgiving, Dan.
You guys as well. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
All right, thanks, bud. Oh, boy. That doesn't leave me looking good, feeling good about tomorrow.
Nothing that the Bears have done this year leaves us feeling all that good, unfortunately.
The only thing that's going to be good is the Thanksgiving turkey and the meal.
The turkey. The food.
And the meal. That's it. The only thing I got to look forward to. Oh,
the food and the drink and the family, Yerk. That's it. Food. Three Fs. Food. Or I'm sorry, the two Fs and the D. Food, family, drink. That's it. FFD.
Yep. And we got McKnight at the Movies coming up at the bottom of the hour. We also got some, thank you, Bare
By
Necessities.
Way, Carm, you're stealing my, I'm sorry, Yerko,
no,
I know you're
right.
Driving.
What did I do?
Right, go.
I have, for the last almost decade now, been professing my love of the four Fs on Thanksgiving.
Football,
food,
family,
and as long as the tryptophan hasn't kicked in, fun.
But that's all right, I like that.
That's for you and the missus at the end of the night.
That's for the end of the night. Miller, I like it. The four Fs, buddy.
Some post-game activities. That's right.
Food, family, football, and fun.
Yeah.
And I usually pronounce it fun.
Fun. That's a Miller special. I like it, buddy.
Because you've been drinking a lot of wine at that point.
Exactly.
You got a little thing going on right there. All right.
We got the Bare Necessities next.
Bare Necessities next.
Let's do it.
We got McKnight at the Movies a little later on, and we got some special surprises.
Yeah, Gio wants
everyone
to come on and say hi to you, too. Gio wants to talk to the good kids.
Gio wants to come on. All right. We'll figure it out. We'll find some time.
We'll do it after McKnight at the Movies.
Yeah, Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's
we're
right.
You know what we're all fired up about? I know we got to get to the bare necessities here, yeah. But man, the college football rankings, like that Cincinnati is in right now, I think it's
number
great.
Four.
Like, we're still debating, like, will they still be there in 2 weeks after the conference title games? Like, look, if Michigan wins, obviously that's going to change everything. Let's say Michigan loses. Sorry to all the Wolverine fans. Let's say Michigan loses. Okay?
Michigan's done.
Oklahoma's toast because of the Baylor loss.
Right.
Right? Like, Notre Dame lost to Cincinnati.
Yep.
Like, if Cincinnati doesn't get tripped up, and I don't think it will, like, you can't possibly, could you? Could they possibly do that to Cincinnati?
Listen,
they beat Notre Dame.
I'm a Notre Dame guy. You know that. Head-to-head competition matters.
It's got to matter, doesn't it, Yurt?
Absolutely, 100% has to matter. And if you listen to some of the narrative that's out there, Carm, the narrative is, oh, strength of schedule, strength of schedule, strength of schedule, strength of schedule. They want to start throwing a strength schedule out there. Your schedule is what it is. If you're 11-0 and you beat the team that's going to be right behind you, there is no way on God's green earth you can go ahead and put Notre Dame over the top of Cincinnati.
You can't.
And I'm a Notre Dame guy.
As long as Cincy doesn't trip itself up, the threat might be OK State. Like, let's see what they do in the Bedlam game this weekend. They're at home, right? They've lost Bedlam, I think, like 4 or 5 years in a row. Like, Oklahoma State might be the one from the Power Five that could still surge. But if Michigan loses, like, and Cincinnati doesn't get tripped up, Cincinnati's going to be in this thing, I think.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati's going to be in this thing. I think
that's
they're going to be in it to stay, but watch strength of schedule. You know how they go. You know how the NCAA can find a way to try to fix things, or these athletic directors can find a way to fix things. And these things, Carm, were discussed today in the IDOT bullpen. The IDOT bullpen brought to you by IDOT. It's lifeordeathillinois.com. 300 people die each year on Illinois roads as a result of impaired driving. Impaired driving is really a matter of life or death. Carm.
I mean, Cincinnati won at Notre Dame, right?
That game
was in South Bend?
Yes,
like,
it was.
There's no way you could do that to Cincinnati.
Yes, 100% correct, okay.
There's no way. All right, sorry. I digress.
No,
I just wanted to bring it up.
I'm
thought it was awesome that Cincinnati's in there. And
number four.
Now, look, Michigan could make its statement with a win, obviously. That's going to change everything. And, but so
if Michigan beats Ohio State, does that put Ohio State out of the picture altogether?
Probably. Doesn't it? That'd be a two-loss Ohio State team. Yeah, I think so. So maybe Cincinnati, even with a Michigan win, has a chance. But Michigan's going to get in there then. Michigan's five.
They're taking one Big Ten team, right? They're taking one Big Ten team.
Oh, yes. Come on.
One Big Ten team's going.
I would think so.
Yes. I would agree with you guys.
The SEC championship pits who against who?
It's going to be Georgia and who's at the top of the other division, guys?
Not great team. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it's not a great team.
Weekend,
so it's going to be fine for them. Alabama then is going nowhere. Alabama doesn't have the risk of losing a championship game, right? So Alabama's locked in.
It's Alabama and Georgia.
Bama does have the top spot because they have the because Ole Miss has the second loss. Yes. So as long as Bama doesn't get tripped up this weekend, it will be Georgia and Bama. Yes. I just wanted to double check.
Right.
Bama's only got the one loss to A&M. That's
so
right.
Georgia is not losing. Georgia is not going anywhere. Even if Georgia loses to Alabama, they're not going anyway. It solidifies Alabama. It'll be Georgia, Alabama, a Big Ten team.
Correct.
And then who? That's the question that you're asking yourself.
Yeah.
Then who?
You're saying, Yurk, if Bama were to beat Georgia in the SEC title game, right? That's what your scenario. Yeah, I agree with you. Then it's going to be Georgia and Bama will be locked
in. If Georgia beats Bama in the SEC game, that's the second loss for Bama. Is Bama now done?
Boy, we need to
see you. You're saying no, they're not done with a second loss.
No,
to the number one team.
Has a two-loss team ever made it, guys? Off the top of our heads, do we know?
No.
Has a two-loss team made the playoff? Okay, so
never made the playoff. So two-loss team has not made the playoff. It'll be interesting as we move forward. Carmen.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, should we do bare necessities?
Let's get to the keys to the game. The bare necessities.
It's time once again to find out how the
Bears
secure a victory this week.
The Bears.
As the Carmen and Yurko Show presents.
Well, that's just great.
The Bear Necessities.
You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Look for the Bear Necessities, the simple
thing. Only seven Bears, Yurko, at the 0-9-1 Lions. The Bears are a 3-point favorite. Good kid, it's been a crazy week.
You've been through a lot in the NFL. I don't think you were ever on a team other than at the end of your career that last year in Cleveland when you were on a team like one of these two.
Yeah, we're 2-14.
That was just horrid.
We're 2-14.
Yeah.
I mean, we competed all year, but we were just good enough to be bad.
I don't know that you were ever too many. You were on a lot of good teams in your career. You played in a lot of playoff games. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything quite like this, but going into the big Thanksgiving Day game, three combined wins in Week 12 between these two teams, Yurko, I ask you, what are the bare necessities?
Carmen, I'm glad you asked. And these would be the keys, okay? The keys to a Bears victory at Ford Field on a Thursday afternoon. Key number one. Because there's only three victories, I'm going to the power of threes today, okay? Third down offensively for the Bears. Need to be a whole lot better. I think they're like 2-24 in the last two games on third down,
which is
kind of taking them to a lot of fourth down conversions. So the Bears offense needs to be better on what? Power of three, third down. Defensively, the Bears have got to find a way to get off the football field on third down. Okay? Third down, get off the football field for the Bears defense. That's all we ask. Ha! Key number three. Staying with the theme of power of threes. The Bears defense has to hold Detroit to field goals or less, takeaways, whenever they get into the red zone. Field goal or less, three or less, power of three.
Power of three, baby.
Key number four. The Bears offense, in turn, can't settle for three. Field goals. I'm tired of settling for 3 points. I want proficiency in the red zone. I want sevens. I don't want threes, okay? And those are the keys to a Bears victory this week against the Detroit Lions in Ford Field. The power of threes for a combination of three victories out of both teams.
And Bear Necessities brought to you by Powering Chicago.
How about that?
Powering.
Carm, I found a theme for this.
I like it, Yurko.
Today's was a theme-oriented Bear Necessities keys to the game for the Chicago Bears. I'm so excited about the way I created that right now. I hope Freddie or Jeff or anybody that reuses this are very happy with the theme I put together for this week.
I like it. And the Bears are 29th on the season, Yurko, on third down conversion percentage. Yeah. You're right. They've been dreadful the last couple of weeks.
Oh,
I'm shocked they're not worse, actually, because I just double-checked. They're actually 24th in EPA per play on third down the last couple of weeks. I thought it would have been even worse than that, but it's still, you know, you're in the bottom third of the league. They're just bad. They're just in so many areas.
The bottom fourth of the league, damn near, Carm.
Yeah, bottom fourth of the league.
Oh, boy.
You're right, Yurko. It's just so bad everywhere.
I wish I could be happy about it. Let's go out to Jack in Oak Park.
Go ahead.
What do you got for us, kid? You're heading up to the Bears game, huh?
Oh, yeah, heading up to the Bears game. I'm excited.
Really?
Three times the Bears have played Chicago. We've been, my friend's family has got a suite up there, and we go check that out. And
do they serve turkey in the suite?
Oh, yeah.
You guys get all the fixings?
Thanksgiving dinner.
Do they really? They get like all the Thanksgiving fixings?
Yeah, all the Thanksgiving fixings and all the snacks you want. You got drinks, you got, you know, you name it.
I guess that's not a bad way to do it if you're going to go to Bears Lions. I mean, at least you're in a suite.
Now, will you go up today or you go up tomorrow?
I'm leaving today. I pick my girlfriend up from Rush, and we head up there at 4:30 in the midst of all the mad traffic. However, it's always worth it in the end.
Jack, you're just
always worth it.
Your girlfriend was with the band Rush?
No, yeah.
Yes. The band Rush. I think she's performing at the halftime.
Yeah, she's doing halftime with Neil Peart.
All right, Jackie boy. You
Jack,
have a
safe trip,
right?
Buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Go out to Jack.
He's like, yeah, we go all the time. I'm excited. I'm like, really? Could you possibly be excited about Bears Lions? But if you're doing it in the suite, it's not so bad.
Let's kick it out to Marilyn and Melrose.
Marilyn, happy Thanksgiving.
What do you got for us,
Good morning,
Ken?
Gentlemen. Happy Thanksgiving
happy
almost.
Thanksgiving.
You as well. How are you doing? Hello?
Hey, we're doing good. Great. We're doing fantastic.
I didn't know you were there for a second.
No, we're
here.
It's your dime, your dance floor.
Oh, it is. Well, what do you think about Iman winning the Mirror Ball Trophy and dancing with the stars yesterday?
Who won?
Iman Shumpert.
Iman Shumpert won Dancing with the Stars?
Dancing with the Stars, yes.
I was thrilled to death because that was a fix from the beginning, you know.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, the athletes got an unfair advantage.
Don't the athletes almost always win?
They almost always win those types
of
situations.
He was so funny because he was so shocked that he won. He said, the judges have been on me for using my feet more.
That's pretty great, man. Chicago's very own Iman Shumpert. I had no idea. I didn't watch.
Congratulations, go out to him. I haven't watched it once, but I knew Iman Shumpert was doing very, very, very well over the course of time.
Great.
So we send a happy Thanksgiving out to Marilyn.
Marilyn, have a great Thanksgiving.
McKnight at the Movies up next, and we've got a special treat for you right after McKnight at the Movies.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
It is Carmen and Yurko on this festive Blackout Wednesday, Hell Wednesday, Hades Wednesday, whatever type of Wednesday you want to call it here in the great city of Chicago. We're going to get up to about 52 degrees here today. Everybody's got smiles on their faces. They're ready. They're out here shopping already, getting things done on beautiful State Street, that great street. Carm, you know what we've got coming up here, don't you?
McKnight at the Movies.
We've got McKnight at the Movies.
Let's do it.
Boy, I hope he's not going Son of the Woman. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh,
I hope that's not the obvious direction he goes, but it'll be interesting.
Gretchen,
what is that?
Talking turkey, my bear.
Exactly. All right, our man, Jeff Miller, get to it.
Our scene opens on a car chase. Sirens blazing as a lone cop chases down a couple of fugitives, it looks like. These lawbreakers don't seem at all disturbed by the oncoming officer, however. And instead of flooring it and speeding away, they decide to pull over for the boys in blue. Maybe they think they can bluff their way out of this one. Both cars on the side of the road now as this cop is headed up to confront our criminals. We're getting a long shot of the scene, and while the cop car looks normal, the getaway car looks anything but. Makes you wonder if it's been through some sort of a shootout or wreck or something. Not at all the vehicle you pick to make a run from the 5-0. All right, so the two in the car start with small talk. Maybe they're not criminals after all. They know they're doing something wrong, something that's skirting the rules of the road, but they're pretty convinced they'll get away with it. Considering how cold it looks outside, you have to be more than committed to some plan or destination to be riding in a car like this in the first place.
I got it.
I believe I have it also.
I'm texting you guys right now.
Yeah. All right. I'll wait for your text
before I go ahead.
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
I've got 27. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. I like it. All right, part two.
The officer's running through a few questions. He's definitely got these two for speeding. A bit on our actors. You've seen all three. Titans of the 80s with, for the most part, careers that have lasted even into the last decade. The actor playing the cop started out on TV, hit it big with a bunch of movies, played a rock star in one of them. The driver of the car got rolling on TV as well. He was a reluctant coach the first time I saw him in a movie. I was a kid. He's been a babysitter, a clarinet player, and a security guard, among dozens of other roles. The passenger got going in stand-up. He's a writer, musician, actor. He's got a new TV series out now, too, where he stars with one of his old amigos.
I love it. 312-332-3776, by the way. And I think everybody's got this one now. Should we fire part three?
Yep, fire part three.
Back to the scene. The driver is going through a litany of problems that he and his fellow traveler have had along the way. He's upbeat and smiling the whole time, the kind of permanent positivity that might get annoying at points later on in the picture. Our passenger is staying silent, but you can see the anger building. The officer remains unable to comprehend the danger these two are putting themselves in by driving this rig on the interstate. And our driver is making an impassioned plea, despite what the officers just told them, to continue on down the road. It's the holidays, and they've got family to go see. Listen, this is one of the best Thanksgiving movies in the history of holiday-centered cinema. It's funny, it's cruel, it's heartwarming, and it stands the test of time. If you haven't figured it out already, and I really hope that you have, just know that despite the fact that the Bears don't have a hell of a team this year, those still aren't two pillows.
That's awesome. Well done, as always, by Connor. Yeah,
yes.
It is one of the greatest holiday movies.
Right, and we do have a winner, Carl.
Go ahead, Yerk.
Tim, Tinley Park, what movie is it?
That's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Those are pillows.
Such a great movie. Right, should we play the reveal, Yurk?
Yeah, let's hear the scene.
Oh. Great. Cop, watch it. How fast are you going?
I can't tell. The speedometer's melting.
Pull over.
Top of the morning, officer.
Hi.
Is there something I can help you with?
What the hell are you driving here?
We had a small fire last night, but we caught it in the nick of time.
You have any idea how fast you were going?
Well, funnily enough, I was just talking to my friend about that. Our speedometer's melted, and as a result, it's very hard to say with any degree of accuracy exactly how fast we were going.
78 miles an hour.
78, huh? Well, yeah, I could buy that, sure, I guess. You would know better than us, especially since we got a melted speedometer.
Do you feel this vehicle is safe for highway travel?
Yes, I do. Yes, I really do. I believe that. I know it's not pretty to look at, but it'll get you where you want to go.
Now, you got no outside mirror.
No, we lost that.
You have no functioning gauges.
No, not a one. However, the radio still works. Funny as that may seem, with all this mess, that the radio is the only thing that's really working good, and it's as clear as a bell. Don't ask me how.
I can't let you go ahead in this vehicle.
Can't what?
No, it's not fit for the road. The vehicle will be impounded until such time as it can be made safe for travel on state highways.
Okay, officer, I admit it. I broke the law, and for that I'm really sorry. I am. It'll never happen again. You got me there, and I won't argue with you one iota, I swear. However, if you impound our car, I'm going to be unable to get my friend here home in time for his Thanksgiving dinner.
So great. Love it. Watch it with the family.
It's hilarious.
It's great.
It's absolutely hilarious.
You know what I picked up there, and I don't know if you guys would agree, but a lot of John Candy in that scene, like I think Vince Vaughn has taken a lot from just his delivery.
Right.
And it, like I could hear Vince Vaughn doing very similar, a very similar cadence and delivery to what John Candy just did in that last scene.
I like
I'm thinking old school, yeah. Wedding Crashers, a lot of Vince Vaughn from John Candy.
I mean, even if you've seen Who's Harry's Crumb.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, it's classic.
I love it.
That's a beauty.
John Candy movies all day.
And I'm a Vince Vaughn fan, so you know when you say something like that to me, that's ultimate compliment to Vince Vaughn. You're stealing from John Candy, and
absolutely.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
It's not meant in any ways as a slight.
Right.
I just kind of clicked for me listening to that scene. Like this sounds a lot like Vince Vaughn.
That could have been his big inspiration. Yurik, hold on. Somebody wants to say hi. Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hello.
Hey, Gio, how are you? You're on ESPN Radio 1000. What can I do for you, my friend?
Talk about the Bears and how a lot of people probably wish they could be better.
Yeah, the Bears are terrible right now, Gio. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think they should fire Matt Nagy?
Maybe. I don't know. There's no chance they lose to the Lions, though, to be honest.
No chance they're going to lose to the Lions?
No.
Would you
terrible.
Take your mother's and father's house and all the money they have in it and put every single dollar and wager on the Chicago Bears against the Lions?
Of course not, because the Bears are probably going to lose, even though I think they have no shot.
You just said you thought they were going to win.
Well,
but you said you're right, Spider.
Gio, you're as confused as a lot of our listeners are sometimes when they listen to Gio, Carmen and Yurko.
Gio, break down. This is Randy, Gio. I've met you like five times. You never know who I am. Break down what it's like to be the son of the great Carmen DeFalco.
It's really fun.
It is.
No. It's just fun? There's nothing else?
It's great.
It's great?
When's the last time your dad spanked you?
No.
All right, he's never spanked you, so you're a good one, all right? All right, have a great Thanksgiving, okay, Gio?
You too.
I got a song that's coming up just for you to celebrate Thanksgiving, all right?
Okay.
All right, Gio.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving, young man.
So did he say there's no way the Bears are going to lose, and then when you asked him to put money on, he said, no, they're going to maybe lose the Lions.
No, they're going to lose. They're going to lose the Lions. I'm like, oh, boy, he's all over the place.
Listen, I just talked about Vince Vaughn mimicking John Candy. Clearly, Gio's taking a page from the David Kaplan playbook.
Here. That's right. Boy, that was the ultimate. That was the captain. That was the Kaplan.
He takes his lead from Cap. Yeah.
All right.
That was a pretty quick 180 there.
Yeah, so, Twitch was a big fan of that. They also want to know, does he take down stop signs?
No, he's too little for that. They're too young yet. I mean, you know, who knows? 5-6 years from now, they might be. God only knows what they're going to be. Whoa. No, it wasn't. It certainly wasn't him and his buddies.
Bad influence in the neighborhood.
And people are making fun of me for saying that. I was big-timing Gio by saying, don't you know who I am? Because I've met Gio like four times.
Of course,
and
every
time I meet him, Carmen says, you are Mr. Merck? And he goes, no, never met him. No.
He knows.
Okay, a Thanksgiving tradition. We do it every single Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
It's our good friend Adam Sandler.
Yes.
Teasing that, Yerk, or are we doing it right now?
Now. We're doing it now.
All right.
We're doing it now.
Let's do it now.
Turkey for me. Turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded that old strawberry. Oh, white meat, dark meat, you just can't lose. I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Teague's poster. Turkey for the girls and turkey for the boys. My favorite kind of pants are corduroys. Gobble, gobble, goo and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Diaper Dandies and the All Windex team.
Oh, yeah.
That's our guy. We love him, Dickie Vitale. He was back on the action yesterday. Calling college basketball games, which is where we all want Dickie V to be.
Gonzaga, UCLA, number one and number two.
Gonzaga really looked good.
Yeah. They finished second last year, Gonzaga to Baylor, right? Baylor ended up winning the championship.
Yeah, Baylor won. That game was never too close. I didn't watch it from start to finish, but I did watch a big chunk of that game. And he used Diaper Dandy a couple times talking about the big kid at Gonzaga right now, that Chet Holmgren, who – I mean, he's 7 feet. He looks like he weighs 190 pounds. But, I mean, he's blocking shots. He can make threes. He's just so skinny.
Yeah, and we all know Dickie V is, he's been suffering with the lymphoma, and he's had, obviously, the treatments for that lymphoma, which has kind of put him on the sidelines. And it was an emotional return for him yesterday.
It is a very special night, and it's also the return of the voice of college basketball, Dick Vitale. Thanks so much for being with us, everyone. I'm Dave O'Brien, Sean Farnham with us as well tonight. Dickie, it is so great to see. I know you would not miss this. All of you are aware that Dick is battling cancer. The fact that you've made it out to Las Vegas for a game that I know you had circled for a long, long time is just awesome. Great to see you.
Great being here, Dave. I didn't want to cry. I can't believe I'm sitting here. This is really a big thrill for me. I want to thank all you people. Sent me so many great messages. ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, all my buddies at ESPN. I want to thank certainly my family and all the fans. My, you've been unbelievable. On October 12th, Obi, I'll be honest with you, when they walked in and told me I had cancer, they thought it was mild duct cancer. And it was really going to be a serious surgery and all. I never dreamt that 82 I'll ever be on courtside again. But to be here today, I'm sorry. I hope I don't cause a problem out there, but I feel so emotional.
Don't apologize for anything.
Well, and the game is the big thing. So let's get this game going. Talk some basketball,
you're the best.
Really.
You're the best.
Tell you, for 82 and everything he's gone through, I thought Dickie V still looked pretty good. You know, like, God bless
still
him.
Still looks
like,
sharp, yeah.
He, you know, and he's still
mentally
got,
sharp, too.
Yeah, like, he can still sit there and do a game. I know sometimes it gets a little cheesy, all the cliches and stuff. And maybe that.
But that's his thing. Yes.
It's his thing. He's still sharp. He still follows the game. Like, 82, he looks good. So good for Dickie V, everything he's gone through. Whatever you say or think about the guy, he truly has a passion for college basketball. I mean, he really does.
Yeah, he always has. Remember, he was a coach at Detroit Mercy.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
Yeah. And
the television thing, really did that well, you know, kind of helped build that ESPN brand, too, on college basketball.
I thought it was cool that they did that they had him back, and that they were doing that game, such a significant game. The game didn't turn out to be great, like I said. I mean, Gonzaga really had control of that game from what I had seen from about start to finish. But, yeah, it was good to see him, and I thought he looked great. So good for Dickie V for being back.
Yeah, good for Dickie V.
I watched a lot of the Hawks last night. They played better than that final result, Yurk.
5-2 was the final, right?
Couple empty netters at the end. It was 2-2 in about 5 minutes to go in the third, I want to say, give or take. Seth Jones in front of the net. The puck just, I think it hit his stick and his skate, and Fleury had no chance. Just sort of a fluky thing. That was the go-ahead goal. Then they got a little desperate. They pulled Fleury, and there were a couple of empty netters. So I know 5-2 looks bad, but I'll tell you what, they played it, I thought, a terrific second period. It was probably one of the better periods I've seen them play in a while. I thought they still had some pretty, they had a lot of the better of the play in the third. They just, you know, you're playing a pretty good Calgary team on the road, and they lost it. But it's not going to matter this year other than hopefully developing some of the young guys, because they're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're buried at this point, and I still don't know that they're good enough anyway. But they definitely look like a different team than what we watched the last
year. Well, I mean, they've got a long way to go just to be a bad team. You know, they're not even a bad team yet. A bad team scores about a point a game, which takes you to 82. 82 points never gets you into anything.
Isn't that about an average team, or is that a bad team?
I think that's
maybe
a bad
right.
team.
You might be right.
Bad teams end up there. I mean,
average teams get about 90
rotten
points, right?
Teams, the rotten teams, just the god-awful teams, end up settling in the 70s.
You're
You're
probably right.
Yeah, I don't have them as a rotten team, but I just have them still as a bad team.
They still have a way to go to be average, you know? That's the thing.
Well, you find them at the bottom. If I had to look for where the Chicago Blackhawks are, I go to the bottom, and then at the bottom is where I can find them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the top of anything to find them by any stretch.
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are.
Yeah.
All right, our final picks here. Is everybody picking against the Bears? My God.
Well, I don't think
I'm going to pick the Bears to win, actually.
What do you have the Bears winning by?
I'm going to have the Bears winning by a final score of 24-20.
Meller?
Yeah, I actually think with Andy Dalton running a somewhat efficient offense, they're going to win this one. I'll go 20-12. Bears win this one. But 2012. Along the sidelines, I think Matt Nagy, well, they probably won't call him out because he's the coach, but I think they're going to give him an honorary turkey leg because it's the Fox game. So they're going to give him the turkey leg knowing that it's his last game as the Bears head coach.
Here's your parting gift. Here's a turkey leg.
Fox is going to be like, Matt Nagy, we're sending a turkey leg into the locker room for him.
Have fun.
Enjoy it.
Fucking Aikman have to be like, are you kidding me? We're going to Thanksgiving. We're going to Detroit for Thanksgiving for 3-7 versus 0-9-1.
I'd ask Randy, but Randy had to go change his socks. And so he's away from the microphone right now. I've got the Bears, unfortunately, losing this one.
Oof, jeez.
I think with all the things that are happening and all the distractions that are out there, I've got the Bears losing this one 17-16.
All right. Yes!
1 point, heart-wrenching loss, 17-16, and then whatever's going to happen is going to happen post-game.
Friday's going to be interesting.
Very interesting Friday.
Interesting. Let's do that. As we say goodbye, let's predict that. When we're in on Friday, all of us, are we talking about the Bears changing head coaches? I'm going to say yes.
Yes, we're working 4 hours that day.
That's the question. What time will the Matt Nagy news? I think by the halftime of the Cowboys game.
Wow.
You might be about right there. Halftime of Cowboys game. Thank you, Jeff Meller. Thank you, Randy Merkin. Thank you, Carmen, for stepping up today.
Thanks.
We'll see you on Friday, Yurko. In studio.
I'll be back in studio Friday. Yurk, thanks for driving. Thanks to Weeder and Tracy Butler and Connor. And everybody have a great Thanksgiving,
Absolutely.
Okay?
And don't
Happy
forget.
Thanksgiving.
Do you know who's got the final word, Carm?
Vinny Antonelli.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you?
Today's final word on Carmen and Yurko.
Thanksgiving is very big in Sicily on account of the large number of Sicilians who went to America and then got thrown back out.
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.